Howdy, y'all. Thanks for stopping by. I know you're excited. I'm happy to do this. As promised, Brian and I want to make sure that everything we do is available to everybody, including those that have no money. So that's why, as part of our Street Fight creed, we will always give you the audio of our live shows for free. It's just going to be a little bit of a delay. So this is the live audio from the show we did at the Trump inauguration with the District Sentinel guys and Chapo Trap House. It was a really fucking fun show. The audience was amazing. There was lots of really cool people that came and hung out afterwards. I was glad to meet so many of you. I really appreciate the time I got to spend with you smoking a cigarette or drinking a beer, whatever it may be. If you want to watch it instead of listen, you can go to Vimeo. streetfightradio.com. That's Vimeo. streetfightradio.com, and you can watch it on a Roku, tablet, computer, whatever it may be, even the video game consoles. But you got to buy it on the website first. Our Patreon subscribers that donate $5 or more get access to our videos, and you can do that by going to patreon.com/streetfightradio. Sorry, I kind of muffled that. Patreon.com/streetfightradio is where you can sign up to be a supporter. And each month you're going to get a live video, including the Chicago show we did with This Is Hell Radio, Lynn Zetta and Arish Singh, and the Pittsburgh show with Chapo and Johnny Is Good. You're getting all of that in the month of March as long as you've subscribed and paid by March 1st. That stuff will be available, of course, the following month. But the best way to get all of what we do is jump over to Patreon, support us so we can keep doing more fun things. We're talking about going to the Flat Earth Convention at the end of this year. Lots of big things planned, and it's only possible because we get support from the people. You know, they aren't going to put these opinions on the regular news. Marvel's not going to let us have a comic book. So that's why we have to make our own stuff. And we are so appreciative of those of you that value that and want to support that. So before I get too weepy here, enjoy. We're here in DC trying to get free weed. Made a stop at DuPont Circle.
They are illegitimate. It is up to us to stop them. We are a powerful group. We speak for millions. Now we have to bring those millions forward. So we're going to march today. We're going to meet up tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We're going to go into the women's march. We're going to join them and call on them to stay in the street.
I was really hoping that millions of people were going to come here to take over the government.
Thank you for coming out tonight. It was this means a lot to us. We didn't realize we were is Brendan Hayne. I host the number one anarcho comedy radio show on any station across the nation. I've done so for 6 years now. With my co-host right here, Brian Quinby. And we had to do it. There was no reason for us not to be here. We pushed ourselves in this position. I was happy to come and get on the ground and do the street reporting. I think actually I had more trials this time than ever before. I felt like I wanted to get in on the action, but I couldn't because I had to put on a show.
Fucking, you guys bought all these tickets. You prevented us from bashing out windows or anything. Very depressing.
I'm in the middle of a march. And I'm doing, like, someone has to yell. Someone has to be the captain. You ready for this? When someone yells, no justice!
No peace!
No racist!
No peace!
That's my jam right there. I love doing that. But I had to make sure I could do it for all y'all. So we're in the middle of the march, and Brian is, like, elbowing me, saying, like, you gotta save that voice, man. We wanted to let everybody know that this show is not about us. It's about all the rioters out there that created the chaos. Thank you. We'll be making a donation with the proceeds from the show to the bail fund for all those people in your name on Street Fire USA. Oh, good. Stop. And so here, then we were down there in the thick of it, but we're, you know, hanging back. At least I was, because I was super stoned.
Yeah, the sweet boy got too high. He was very nervous every time he saw somebody run.
It was a surprise. When people ran in my direction, Brian ran right to them.
Well, that is because I'm sober, and I look like a very white dad. And there's no possible way they would arrest me.
No, they would probably hold down a protester for you and let him hit him in the head.
Yeah, give him a little beating with a stick. I'm like, hey, I'm here. These leftists, they're picking on me. Please don't arrest me. I'm your friend.
It was exciting down there. And to be in the middle of all of it, where there is a limo on fire, but like a stone throw away, there's someone on a recumbent bicycle working out.
Major weird thing for me. I, like we said, when I first started Street Fight, when I was going through the, like, hey, I think I'm an anarchist now, guys, I watched so many riot videos, and they just look fucking sweet. There are guys, like, grabbing stuff in the middle of the street. It just looks like a war zone, like a party of fucking destruction. And then this time, we're standing in the middle of one, and there's fucking, like, PTO moms standing there, too, and, like, fucking people jogging or on their way to work or buying a fucking hot dog.
Well, so I was, like I said, super stoned, and I'm perched up, and we arrive at this situation. Someone told us there was a riot going on, and I see these people running, and we hear a loud bang.
And this fucked with Brett, because he used to get a hold of me when he first moved to D.C. The main thing he was afraid of was getting killed in some kind of a fucking terrorist attack or like a war between Transformers or the Avengers or anything like that. Like, this is where that shit happens. So he would always be like, oh, I gotta get back to Columbus where nobody wants to kill you.
All the movies are about an alien or a foreign government or a nerve agent taking out DC, and I've seen all of those monuments crash down. They make me super uncomfortable. So the cops are throwing sound grenades in the middle of all of this.
Yeah, we show up and we're coming down the street and there's this line of riot cops, and I'm like, well, there's only like 15 people on this street. What are these riot cops fucking doing? Boom, flashbang, Brett shits his pants.
It took me a while to react. I was like, what was that?
Yeah, I actually had to have flashbang. Because a march in Columbus, Ohio, you will get yelled at by the other protesters if you walk off of the sidewalk. They're like, come on, man, you're making us look bad.
Yeah, Brian went up to the front. He was like, was that a fucking bomb? And the guy was like, no, it's a flashbang. He's like, oh, they're trying to not get us to go over there. And everybody ran.
Yes. So we ducked down an alley. We finally get where the action is. And back when my daughter was in kindergarten, I did a lot of volunteering. I would go sit in the classroom with these five-year-old kids and play little learning games with them and shit. There were always other parents there. And I saw a woman that just reminded me of the other parents. And she's standing there, and she was like, I'm fucking part of the action, man. I'm fucking changing the world. And the cop just fucking tossed a flashbang, hit her right in the shoulder. She became an anarchist right at that end.
It was her moment of radicalization. She said, why is the government doing this to us?
The thing that took me 33 years to figure out, she figured out in the snap of a fucking finger. I can guarantee she's masked up right now.
Yeah, so like I said, the people are basically, there's a line, and they're holding this intersection. I still don't know why they were holding this intersection. They're just standing there basically challenging everybody. There's a march, there's a protest happening. Every time you walk past the traffic light, the white light on the ground there, they're tossing these sound grenades. So once again, I'm standing on there, I'm looking, I'm like, man, this shit is fucked up right here. Watching. All these people decide they're going to rush. He goes with them. That sound grenade lands. That woman was fucking floored.
Yeah, she got grabbed by a couple black block guys. They took her over. Yeah. They told the press to fucking leave her alone. And they did medic work for her. So she's our new friend, I guess.
PTO mom, part of the revolution.
But man, I got the best fucking time out there. I saw them pull those dudes. First of all, we saw the windows get broken. And I know that there's these fucking morons that are raising money for the small businesses that got their windows broken. But all I saw was a Starbucks, a Bank of America, some foreign trade place that you know is just doing evil shit. I don't even know what it was.
It's Anarchy's greatest hits.
Yeah, it really is. We did a greatest hits riot. We hit all of the normal places.
Yeah, Starbucks, Bank of America, McDonald's, no small business that I saw. And it was away from everybody else. There was no chaos that I saw beyond, you know, what was happening, the rat shit. It was very small. Like, I guess for me it was surprising because when you look at these huge events, they just crop and they don't realize, they never show what's going on around, you know? And it's total normal society, but this very small battleground. And they make it seem like everything descends to chaos. It's bullshit.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. So I got a question for you DC people, the people that live in this city. So one of the things we notice is the cops throw flashbangs. Those things fucking blow up. They're terrific if they're not hitting a person. The limo was actually caught on fire by a bottle rocket. And the first thing that Sam Sachs and Sam Knight told us when they told us there was going to be a party is, hey guys, we got some illegal fireworks. So what is it with you people and illegal fireworks?
DC parties.
I know. We have stores in Ohio because it's a redneck place. We can just go get them. We're not as excited, but it's beautiful, man.
It's already redneck home.
You gotta drive all the way to South Carolina. I think that's the
Oh, God, sorry, guys. You come, any one of you comes to Columbus, you send me a DM, I'll blow some shit up with you. Yeah. It's a 10-minute fucking drive, baby. All right. So the overwhelming theme of all of these marches on that first day was not my president, which is something we've been saying since 2009. I'm sure.
Yeah, I believe the big organization that we first rallied with was just called No, and they were saying no to Donald Trump. They were doing the thing that I always advocated for, which is everybody shows up and just prevent the guy from going into the White House. They just wanted to stop it from the beginning.
I'm pissed that Nancy Reagan took Just Say No from them, because they can't give the directions. You know what I'm saying? With that bad name,
she ruined it.
So we have a solution for all of you who do not want this to be your president.
Yeah, something we've talked about for a while, and, you know, it sounds like we're complainers and belly achers, and we don't have any solutions to any problems. There is a way to not recognize the president. That has already been established.
I think regular listeners are going to know this, but let me just say two words for you. Sovereign citizenship.
We're taking it back. We're taking everything back on the right wing, including sovereign citizenship. We're going to start a left-wing Illuminati. We're going to be mongooses, not reptilians, because they're our enemy. But yeah, I mean, it's time that we took on some of these causes. I mean, there's no reason we have to be a part of this country if we don't want to be. Liberty isn't just for them.
We need a Clive and Bundy of the left. And they're both standing on stage right now.
It's tough, though. I mean, how does this work? I mean, you know, is there paperwork? Was I born free? There's a lot of philosophical questions about this.
I can help. I've done all the research because, as you know, I'm very sovereign. The first thing you guys are going to need to do when you get home is, I know most of you probably might not have tools. A lot of you don't look like you do jobs for the tools. Go grab a chisel and just take the mailbox off and all those address, the pesky address numbers off of your house.
Stop inviting the government on your property. That's number one.
If they can't establish citizenship, they can't throw you in jail.
If you would like to be a part of the mail system, go to their P.O. boxes, but don't let anyone on your premises.
They'll let you pick up your fucking mail. Another thing, when you go to the DMV, just don't sign the fucking papers, man, and say, look, I intend to drive. You can't stop me from doing that.
Yeah, this card isn't going to prevent the car from starting up.
Number two in this thing is you're going to need a flag, baby. I know that a lot of you are fond of the hammer and sickle, which is fine with me. You can use that as your flag. It's kind of a template, though. It's like a template situation, you know. Same with any of those anarchist flags with the line through the middle.
Yeah, whatever color you want to be, cerulean, whatever you decide. It's up to you now. You get to decide your own government again.
I am likely to get like a pentagram and a goat's head on mine because my nation is satanic in nature. It's not a secular society.
I actually would expect you to just fly a flannel shirt as a flag.
But I'd fly Fonzie's jacket. Cool guys. Cool guys.
Hey,
you need a constitution, I think. That's an important thing, right?
Absolutely. You have to make up the laws. The good thing about writing your own constitution is that you would never make anything illegal that you like to do. But that's my favorite shit about writing my own constitution. The drug stuff is right out the window.
Yeah, that's in the Bill of Fucking Rights now, if you think about it. You can get drugs in the Bill of Rights. You can get anything, really. I mean,
make it up. Whatever you want, you're crafting it. Now, you have your flag, you have your constitution, you have your personal country. Now you can start exerting your force on people. But, do not enter into a building that has an opposing country's flag on it, otherwise you are bound to their laws.
And I need you guys to be very careful about when you look for these flags, because you're not even fucking thinking about it, but like, when you walk into the bank, they'll usually have the state flag, the nation's flag, and the bank's flag. That's three laws you're under. That's three fucking constitutions, man.
That's a lot of regulations.
So just bring yours in and wave it in front of them and be like, we're working under my rules, too. This is a fucking, I'm a vessel in international waters, and we're dealing with each other one-on-one here. This is, I'm not part of the corporation of the United States of America, and I will not be detained.
There it is. That's the playbook.
That is. We've seen it happen. We've seen it work a million times.
But if you do not need to want to learn all of those rules, I consider myself a free inhabitant that is only bound to the ground that I'm standing on, and I do not recognize any sort of lines on a map.
Oh, that's too bad, man, because when you come to my house, you're out of all worlds.
I've dealt with your country before. I'm familiar with your country.
We're on good diplomatic relationships, our countries, together. We've come to the table and talked. The last step, and this is a very important step, and I hope you guys don't think I'm just joking around, because this is not a joke. This is deadly fucking serious. When you get home, get a fork. Stick it in your fucking toaster, because you're going to have to get used to electricity if you're going to be a sovereign citizen.
You're getting
days. I'm a free inhabitant. I have a maritime vessel. It's like being in a fight. Once you get into it, like then you're like, no, I run on electricity. I mean, the law in my country is, first of all, no tasers, but also if you don't react to the taser, they can't arrest you. See, the paperwork holds everything together, and eventually it leads to force. And if you can beat the taser, you beat the system. Oh, man, I love being a sovereign citizen. So the best thing, I think the weirdest thing or the weirdest takeaway, because we haven't been able to watch much TV because we've been marching in the fucking streets. We haven't been able to watch much TV, but we're seeing every picture of Donald Trump makes him look very sad. He's like a grumpy-looking motherfucker now that he's the president.
Yeah. He's the leader of the deplorables.
And he's really representing that deplorable lifestyle, isn't it?
I mean, the first moment I got on the metro, I knew everybody was thinking, oh, when I was a kid, we wouldn't call people they.
Yeah.
Millennials are asking for lunch breaks and they take them. They don't realize we just have to work for them and that's the job. It's fucking ridiculous.
I mean,
so many frowny faces.
It's like there's extra gravity around them at all times.
All of the facial muscles that make you smile, that like lift everything up, have just atrophied. And all the skin is just falling off. But I think that's like admirable.
Right? They do. And they kind of have the same vibe as Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump just got a job that he doesn't fucking want. And what's one thing?
Oh, let me tell you, I got a job. It used to be pretty great, but now it ain't. I'm sticking around, and I fucking hate it. And that's life.
That is the one thing all deplorables have, is a job they fucking hate. Or a landscaping company. It's one of the fucking things.
Yeah, I saw Trump and Ivanka had like the ball within the tuxedo and the gowns and everything, and that dude was just like, I wish I was like hanging back with Puff Daddy, and I wish I was all around all those celebrities again. Now I'm just stuck with these miserable people. Stiff upper lip, folks.
Right, it's kind of fucking sad, really, when you think about it, because like, they're all frowning because all of the women and all of the young people hate them for what they've done. They've been dealing with this for 6 months, and Donald Trump is just fucked. You know what I mean? He's just a sad boy. Can't get it. He's sad. He's like, sad Brian. I just did.
Yeah, he's awful. I really feel like everybody in the room looks so, like the women's march was incredible. How many people were out there? Like, you got caught up in it, right? There's no way I couldn't. I saw a sea of people that were all like, we're done with this shit and we'll move on. Like, it'll just be us if we have to, because those miserable fuckers are over with. I loved it. I was really inspired by a lot of what I saw out there and a lot of the organization and the radicalism, man. It's been a lot of time coming, but we've made a lot of headway, and these deplorables aren't going to get shit done, I don't think, with us on watch, so... So here's the thing, like, I don't pay attention to the media or like any of the pop culture or the Twitter or any of that stuff. I don't know any of the intricacies or anything. So I wanted to call on some journalist friends of ours that know a thing or two about DC. The ones that live in the swamp, they got the buggy with the fan on it and everything. Like, they're cruising through the swamp. They know DC so well. We were on their show earlier this week. If you don't know it, it's District Central Radio has a show called Unanimous Dissent. It's aired every single day, Monday through Friday. I'd like to welcome to the stage Sam Knight and Sam Sachs.
Those are your mics, guys. You're allowed to use those too.
Hey.
Hey.
Let's hear it for the Street Fight guys.
You guys are great.
pretty good show you got going. Good times. Glad to see everyone in town. You know, usually we don't have as much fun in D.C. It's a lot more dour-looking people who, well, you know.
Depressing. It's a depressing city. Everything happens. All the bad shit happens here, right?
So, as a general rule of thumb, I try to never go south of Irving Street, and I live, like, a block north of Irving Street. So, if you're here and you hate D.C.
At the same time, we're afraid of leaving D.C. going to Virginia pretty often, too. So.
Sounds fucking Brett.
That's a strange place, yeah.
That's the thing. So is Brett. He's like, we can't get a hotel in Virginia because they'll throw me in fucking jail if I get caught with weed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we used to know, I grew up in Northwest, right by the Montgomery County border, and we used to know to stay in, like, don't ever smoke weed in Montgomery County, because the cops there have nothing to fucking do, ever.
So
nothing to do. And so the D.C. cops, you know, they suck, don't get me wrong, they're terrible, but they have more problems than a few kids in a park smoking weed, so just a tip.
Yeah, go out there and smoke weed in the park is the tip, actually. Yeah. Can we get a fucking cop?
Please.
This is the journalism we do.
Yeah.
So thank you for being here, Sam Sack, Sam Knight. We wanted to talk to you about who. So we know the deplorables that are out there that own construction businesses, but who are the deplorables that are we will see in the government now?
Well, we don't. I mean, to be fair, like half of Trump's cabinet could be pretty deep in the construction business. One thing we learned about Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary nominee, is that he forgot to disclose $100 million in assets until the night before his confirmation hearing. So that was extremely cool.
Well, to be fair, the paperwork is extremely difficult.
The paperwork is difficult.
$100 million
if you are 84 cents behind on your mortgages, though, he will throw you right the fuck out of your house.
That's true.
But if he fails to disclose, what was it, 8 shell companies, a Cayman Islands offshore vehicle, $100 million, and a bunch of artwork. I don't know. Paperwork is tough.
But yeah, I can't hate on the guy. I mean, Street Fight still isn't an official business. This shit is tied up in my bank account. I'm hiding a lot of it. And,
it's true. He's
hiding a lot more. I could probably lose $100 million pretty easily. And he is evil because the Cayman Islands, you said Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
That automatically means he's doing some fucking Dr. Evil shit.
The thing is, his excuse was, it wasn't, like, I wasn't dodging taxes, okay? Because I'd say that.
Yes, okay.
Just listen to his confirmation hearing for, like, 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Hear him talk, and you'll get it.
Yeah, he's a big dork. He's like if Dan Snyder was about to run the Treasury. Yeah.
So Steve Mnuchin has a lot of money, and he's not...
I was going to finish. He was saying he wasn't dodging the taxes for himself. He was helping other people, and it was legal. And so, but he was saying it wasn't for himself, it was for other people, which is a weird thing to admit, because they're paying him a ton of money to do that. So.
Yeah, that's like communism a little bit, when you think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Share the tax payments,
right?
You know? It's cute. It's sweet. That's one way to get socialism. That's like some real, like...
Brian is correct.
That's Democrat. I wouldn't say democratic socialism, but that means something else. So, like the Democrat Party socialism, I guess?
Yeah.
So who else do we have? Steve Mnuchin?
Probably most relevant to perhaps this audience and the people on stage, Jeff Sessions.
Awful.
Jeff Sessions.
I'm always mad at Jeff Sessions. Every minute of every fucking day, I'm mad at Jeff Sessions.
Beyond the fact that he was too racist to be a federal judge in the 80s, he's about to be our attorney general who is going to take away all of our marijuana, particularly you guys. He's going to... the anarcho-comedy scene is in trouble there.
He will never get my marijuana. I have smoked marijuana through some pretty tough administration. Okay? And he's not getting his hands on my marijuana ever.
Let me tell you something, too, about my cold, sticky hands. Because of the resin, not because of the other stuff.
The weed black market has been the best, though, because weed was $50 an eighth, like, 15 years ago, and it's still the same. Like, I think black market without that regulation works best.
It's not hearing. He wants to reestablish the DOJ's anti-obscenity unit, which, fuck that, eat my asshole and suck my dick, Jeff Sessions. I will say that under oath, you bitch. You fucking real concerned, you fucking bitch.
He just did the sexiest talk that's ever been on Street Fight in the history of the show.
This episode should be confiscated, like Jeff said, he's anti-porn task force.
Oh,
fuck, I'd love to see him try to take porn away from the deplorables. I just think
that's where it is.
Well, that's the scary thing about the weed stuff, though, is, you know, Nixon obviously ramped up the war on drugs, the crackdown on leftists and the crackdown on the black community. So to a certain extent, you know, they might not even have to do a lot of the goony shit as long as they just, you know, get the DEA to, you know, enforce the scheduling as it's written or whatever. I don't know. The saving grace is that, you know, the last election, marijuana passed in, what, 8 out of 9 states, including
Washington? It did.
So that's good. You know, it keeps the heat on them.
I mean, everybody that I smoked weed with as a teenager probably voted for Donald Trump, is what I'm thinking. So I think we're pretty safe.
Well, that's the other thing about Sessions is he said he liked the KKK until he found out that they smoked pot.
That's a terrible thing.
That's not the thing I associate with the KKK.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's problematic.
They're secretive about it.
There's potheads in the KKK, I mean. Well, there's all kinds of drug heads in the KKK.
Yeah.
Who do we got? Who else do we got? After Jeff Sessions.
We got Scott Pruitt, the head of the EPA. He's the former Oklahoma Attorney General who's like tried to sue the EPA a bunch of times. And he actually said...
he knows it well, man.
At his confirmation hearing, he refused to recuse himself from cases that ongoing cases that he brought as the Oklahoma Attorney General against the EPA. And then, so he said he would not rule out adjudicating on those cases, so deciding on cases that he fucking brought. So he wants to be plaintiff.
Yeah.
Dan Pavitt.
That's a year.
No, he did. He said, oh, I won't do it for a year.
Yeah, 1 year would be cool.
But after a year, it's fine.
That seems smart, though. That seems like something I would probably get into. We didn't plan a lot of this, but I totally understand why they're doing it. Like, I would do the same thing if I was in their situation. Oh,
well, I mean, we're going to talk about a bunch of people and all the shitty things they do, but, like, every one of them is going to be confirmed. Like, there's
everyone,
no question.
Everyone. Oh, McCain said he was voting for Tillerson today.
Yeah, even Tillerson. Even the thing that's freaking out both Democrats and Republicans, fear of Russia right now, the cabinet member most closely associated with Russia, Tillerson, he's going to be confirmed easy. So,
which is weird. It's kind of a relief that it's Tillerson and not John Bolton.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Mustache.
Well, that's why he's
very memeable.
He's extremely memeable.
I need a Yosemite Sam on the cabinet. It seems like that is the perfect place. This is the only chance we're going to have for one of them.
Well, Bolton was approached, but he refused to shave his mustache. And
yeah, that's, I mean,
does not trust people with facial hair for some reason.
I didn't like that, though. I shave. I'm good.
Why don't you tell the people about Mike Pompeo?
Pompeo, he's probably going to be confirmed Monday for CIA director. This is a guy who, in January of last year, at a time when even the biggest NSA hawks, the people supporting mass surveillance, were like, all right, this phone dragnet program that was revealed by Snowden, this is kind of fucked up. Maybe we should draw this back a little bit. Pompeo was writing an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal saying we need to expand our metadata databases, include stuff like lifestyle information. He didn't quite define what lifestyle information is.
That is for everyone who's retweeted the Nazi punch.
Creepy that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Including me. But please retweet it.
He's also a guy who thinks Snowden should be droned.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, so he'll be a problem.
He'll fit right in at the CIA. I don't think this beef is going to last too long.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's anybody that I could have, like, in charge of the CIA that would make me feel comfortable. Maybe Brett. I mean, that's about the only person I would appoint to make me feel comfortable. That organization scares the shit out of me.
Pompeo was birthed out of that Tea Party cesspool in 2010 that just, like, gave, you know, rise to the most anti-intellectual dipshits and racists out there, and now they're going to be leading one of the most powerful secret organizations in the country.
It's just all going to be
things are great.
Yeah.
Good. It's actually good.
Well, I mean, if people feel up to it, I mean, we're working like on our phones. We're multitasking more than ever. You got time to go out there and look at your Pinterest and be in the middle of a fucking protest, right? We got the time. It's the age now.
That's
I feel
true.
Like fuck it up, man. It's the time. Everybody's out there. So, we'll see.
We've got Tom Price, who's going to be heading up Health and Human Services, who's bought pretty much every medical company stock while also legislating on those companies that you can think of.
Wasn't he a chair? Is he chair as well?
Yeah,
they have a lot of power over what goes up and what goes down. So.
But that was only recently made illegal, by the way.
The Stock Act.
Stock Act, that's right.
Trading stocks based on non-public government information was legal until 2015.
I mean, it's still basically legal.
It is still basically legal because they have to catch you, and it's hard to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, right? Like, you can get the financial disclosures and everything. They'd be like, you know, say what Tom Price did. Oh, you know, I looked at the company. It was good. You have to literally, like, send an email being like, ha, 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 I'm going to fucking do insider trading right now. Tom Price, more like Tom Price moving information and trading on it.
So, my hyphens. Give a shout out. Yeah, clap for your hyphens, though. I mean, when I'm running my own personal country, it's going to be this dirty, too, just so y'all know. It's going to be a lot of crony shit.
I feel like we should talk about Ben Carson a bit, but I feel like Felix should talk about Ben Carson a bit. But I just want to say this about Ben Carson, which is...
The only guy with facial hair. A little bit of it there.
Yeah. But he's so cool.
Ever since he called Sherrod Brown Columbo, I'd be like, yo, he was fucking right as shit about that. That's all I want to say about him. But he's obviously a lunatic.
Yeah, do we want to get hit? Felix's opinion on that?
I would love to get Felix up here to speak a little bit about Ben Carson. Ladies and gentlemen. We have Ben Carson himself on stage right now.
Magic hands. A lot of people don't know about me. I'm like, in addition to hosting country's most important podcast, I'm also one of the best journalists alive.
That's why we brought you here. Stage full of journalists and two fucking idiots. Beautiful.
I spoke with Mr. Carson about his plans for Health and Human Services, and he told me that the Jezebites are going to realign to the Argonauts in the Valley of Elam. We'll be on to the Sons of Solomon. And I completely agree. Like, that's fucking bipartisan.
That sounds so good to me right now. That sounds so good.
Yeah, it's like, ASMR is like... Nice camp counselor tells you to have a good, new school year or something like that. That's like, verbally, it's like your brain reacts like you took half an Ativan. But you're still at Thanksgiving, and your grandmother is still asking you why you can't maintain a relationship. But Ben Carson ASMR is like you're drinking lean.
It's the good shit. Yes. It's medical. It's completely medical.
Yes, and the DEA is going to try to take away that and grab him, so.
Bullshit. From my fucking cold, pukey hands. So, while we're still, we need to get a little more cabinet information. Is there anybody else we should be flipped out about, guys?
This guy's not confirmed by this.
Wait. Oh my god, Betsy. How can we forget our sweet friend Betsy? Do you want to start off with Felix? Do you want to start off with Betsy?
Well, I would like to first, before I say what I have to say about Mrs. DeVos, it's sort of difficult to see you know, like an ex move on in life. But anyway, like, look, I think, he's a straight ticket Democrat voter, I think that the way that she ruthlessly wants to crush teachers' unions and implement apps to fucking maximize students, to make everyone, like, an automated graphic designer.
Do you think Cory Booker is going to vote for her?
Yeah, the confirmation.
Yeah. Oh, he already said he does?
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, she's exactly, like, well, it's the exact model, like Cuomo or someone like that with schools, but she happens to have a little bit of more reactionary flavor. Like, her brother's Eric Prince, the Blackwater guy.
Oh, yeah. Shit, I know that guy, man.
Yeah.
I changed the name of his company because he was just murdering people all over
the place. Yeah,
he changed the name of his company like 7 times.
Yeah.
Because he's done 7 individuals.
He doesn't even work there anyway. He was working for the Chinese government, basically, for a while, too.
God, I love companies that have to change their name 7 or 8 times. Murphy's Auto Parts becomes McKinley's Auto Parts.
Well, I'm a small businessman myself, and I mean, whom amongst us has not had to change the name of their LLC because it was name of LLC, then massacre.
Betsy is comes from wealth, like Mr. Trump.
What? Yep, someone in this cabinet comes from wealth?
And then I believe she also married into more wealth, or maybe that was just her parents, I don't know. But she's super wealthy. Her education policy experience is donating to right-wing fundamentalist groups. And I don't know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of you saw her confirmation hearing. It was awful, she was barely prepared. Didn't know what basic federal laws were, and
So she is basically gonna make it so school is just an app you download on your phone and you can sit at home.
No, she's going to let the states do that though.
Oh, okay.
She's big on the federalist stuff.
States' rights. She just likes states' rights, basically.
Did she also talk about blasting grizzlies?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Of course. How could I forget? Yeah. She said guns were needed in schools because of a school in Wyoming where they needed to shoot grizzlies. But apparently that doesn't work. Like, if a fucking grizzly is coming for you, like, a gun is not going to do it. Like, unless you're Annie Oakley, you're not going to fucking take out the bear. You need to spray. You need to fucking spray.
Yeah, but Felix already has all the tools to kill a bear anyway.
I can do it whenever I want to do. There is a bear I wish I could kill, and it was the bear of sexism that I saw in Mrs. DeVos's confirmation hearing.
I did see a tweet. They were saying Bernie is mansplaining.
He was manspreading. So none of the senators could sit at the table with him. And Mrs. DeVos was trying to, you know, explain, even with the strength and the power of bravery of a woman, candidate woman.
Can I just say, I don't think Bernie was wagging his finger at her, so I guess he saw those tweets asking him to do better.
Yeah. The pressure works, guys.
There's no shortage of degenerates in this administration, but also name drop Sean Spicer, who's obviously not confirmed, but showed that if Trump orders him to, like, slash his own throat, he will do it tomorrow.
Yeah, we were talking.
He's lying through his teeth about inauguration crowd sizes.
I mean, I'm going to tell everybody that 200 people were here tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, Vince McMahon inflates every crowd size.
The thing is, if you see, like, we were talking about the possibility of Trump doing a Bud Dwyer, but I don't know, maybe Spicer, he'll get Spicer to do it first.
One can dream, guys.
I was just going to say as well, real quickly, that, non-confirmed people, obviously Bannon, Flynn.
What?
These people are the worst. They don't have to go in front of the Senate to explain. explain themselves, so we should be very afraid of them.
Bannon looks like a huge drunk. Is he the guy that, he's like the drunk racist.
Yeah, and he took over Breitbart. The good thing about him is he looks like he's about to live up to Andrew Breitbart's days. And pass out in a driveway, in a pool of piss, wearing a diaper and a tutu.
I'm sort of sick of the accusations of anti-Semitism against Steve Bannon. He actually was the editor-in-chief of JewWatch.org, Tel Aviv division.
JewWatch.org is a page set up to track Jewish accomplishments, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I love Steve Bannon. He seems great.
He's a good guy.
So I wanted to make sure that we could get in more coverage of what happened. You know, Brian and I were there writing, which you get that, the street level reporting. Sam,
you weren't writing, you shit yourself.
Hey, he's sick. I was like E40 high.
You were fucked up on the spice, and Brian was the dad, so.
Tough dad, though. Tough dad. Yeah. Trying to whoop your ass, okay? I'm thankful to have you two. Thank you for coming. Everybody loved this or Central Maine. Since the radio, right? Thank you. But we got a couple other people in the building that I think could offer their opinions up on some of the punditry that went down and some of the online engagements. And can you help me with this?
I come from a secretive organization that traffics and boosting voices, allyship, things like this. Deplorables, mount up.
But, hold on, is this fucked up? You're good. All right.
No, like, look, Washington, D.C. is like the Tupac song, Bugs Mansion. But instead of for, you know, like, members of the Outlaws, it's for anyone who had to change schools because they got their roller backpack kicked too many times.
Can I ask you this? Why does it take you all 75 seconds to cross the street? Why are you giving this much time?
The first time we got to a crosswalk and the numbers started going down, I was like, I didn't know they could go that high on a fucking countdown.
I thought for a second they had just reprogrammed it for the MAGA people. They said it's an OPO, so they could shamble across the street.
They walked the water across the street. You don't want to get deplorable all over your windshield.
Something that was said earlier tonight. In the beginning, Street Fight seemed to imply that it was okay to vandalize the property of large businesses like Bank of America and Starbucks and not small businesses owned by independent, good, mom-and-pop type people. Wrong. 100% wrong. Destroy their property too and start with Boss Burger on U Street.
Disgusting nightmare restaurant we've ever encountered, and honestly, if everything that is said about Comet Ping Pong Pizza was true, this place is still worse. Because at least pizza's pretty good.
Alright, let me put it this way. If you are a natural sub and cannot afford to pay a dominatrix, you go into Boss Burger and experience rapid humiliation.
I would like to pay $8 for a frozen brick.
$11.
$11 for a charred brick. Who got the milkshake?
I got the milkshake. The milkshake was fun. We went there with the Street Fight Boys. And the first thing that happens when you walk into Boss Burger is you get buzzed by this unnerving door chime that's incredibly loud. I don't know what it's supposed to accomplish there. You go in there, we each individually spend about $25 for what, a hamburger and fries. Not even like a fancy like restaurant hamburger.
No, shit briquette.
I mean, not even really.
Smart of us geniuses, Felix and I, left before our order.
They left. We had a spirited debate.
We understand what the sunk cost fallacy is. Because we're smart.
We
literally walked by and a half a block away, there's a fucking McDonald's. And I had the greatest quarter pounder in my life.
Will and the Street Fight
Guys. It's like how it must taste after you have a near-death experience.
Will and the Street Fight Guys, they actually got their order somehow. And awful.
I had a half sunk cost fallacy because I ate half the hamburger. And then was angry for 2 hours.
So
you see, seriously though, there's a sliding doors because like he was really bad. Will was, and obviously and totally correctly to me, but I know about myself. If there's like a sliding doors parallel world where just because it was just an accident of who ordered first that got theirs and who left before they got theirs. If I'd been in line earlier and got mine and eaten it, I would have ended the night in a shooting spree.
That and Felix, we had a spirit debate, and they decided to leave. They marched out of there, but I said no. I said I still have faith in Boss Burger. I waited 30 more minutes. We had already waited 30 minutes.
If I can quote the famous crisis actor from history, Primo Levi, you know, monsters are real. They exist. But worse yet are the men who enable their actions. I'm talking about new Chapo member, former Chapo member, Virgil Tepes. Stayed to get his burger and encourage this treachery.
Then I ate it and I got so ill.
See, we should have left as soon as Will went to the bathroom and started.
Oh, yeah. Of the two bathrooms in this establishment, one of them featured a door that was about an inch larger than the frame it was installed on, which means it cannot close or be locked by definition.
And the other
sort
one...
of the most basic thing you would want from a bathroom.
And the other door was unnervingly tiny.
I think the idea of that being like, this door literally isn't a door. I mean, it doesn't meet the definition of a door.
If you want to go to the bathroom at a restaurant in D.C., you just like open a door, and then it's a slightly smaller door, and a slightly smaller door. And then eventually you crawl into a urinal.
Well, yeah, this place basically like was when Springfield rebuilt Flanders House. That was us afterwards.
I mean, I actually think I know why the door is actually like that, why you can't really close it. If you know, like I said, you're a box intern or something like that, you just got done handing in your new piece, like, different people are more susceptible to different airstrikes, and it's okay. And you're like, I need some subjugation. You go to Boss Burgers, you are unable to close the door, you... 45 minutes ago, you put in your order for, like, the boss super, like, the boss fucking whatever burger, and you're jacking off, as one does, and they scream your number out, mad at you because you ordered, and then, yeah, you put an explainer all over the
floor. Wait, here's our idea. Here's our idea, actually, and maybe you guys can help us in this. We want to, like troll, like, Jonathan Shade and, like, Vox-style people with reverse psychology and just be like, you fucking squares are probably, too hoity-toity to go to the real DC shit, like Boss Burger. And we want them all to go there and eat it and be like, it's great.
Eli will be taking selfies with a scowling chef. Screamed at me.
Well, everyone in there looked like they had A, never worked in the kitchen before the day the listing was, and two, were working at Gunpoint.
Well, my main problem was I walked in there and I said, I want to get a beer. They have a list of beers. You can even get a ring and wings and beer. They said, nobody here has a license to sell beer. Like, you need a certificate? I didn't know what that meant.
The best beer academy. So I'm the idiot. I'm the biggest loser because I logic myself into staying, and I said Matt and Felix are cowards. And when they called Matt and Felix's numbers, I told them, oh, those guys left, and they were perplexed by it.
Oh, what?
They didn't want to stick around 1 hour for this.
What you're experiencing now, what Virgil's describing, is a totally logical decision to stay there. I think kind of encapsulates my experience spending the last 4 or 5 days in D.C., living, working, and traveling with Virgil and Felix, or as I like to call it, being the counselor at Camp Trainable.
Yeah, Will was, like, on kind of a bad trip last night, and he was, look, two normal guys, me and Virgil.
We're normal. Folks, we're normal.
We were talking about going to the 7-Eleven near where our host lives, like, as one does, and Virgil had the idea that he should call the 7-Eleven ahead of time to see if there were any hot dogs on the road.
Because it was late, folks, it was late. It was 3 a.m., all right? They don't necessarily have enough hot dogs for three men to come in at 3 in the morning.
Think about it.
We were approximately 25 minutes away at that point. If we had called them, there would have been enough time for them to put additional hot dogs on the rollers such that they would be rolled at the time we arrived. Imagine this scene. Right? Don't we love it? Don't we love it? Imagine being in the car with this scene, and me laughing so hard that I'm in pain, but also screaming, shut the fuck up.
Shoppo fans, normies, isn't it regular to go into 7-Eleven and ask them, like, is your fountain, like, should you put the cup at a 45-degree angle instead of filling the head on the top of the cup, or is it decompensating by offsetting the carbon dioxide for the head of the soda? It's normal.
Shut the fuck up.
We were, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, we were in a car with Rodney Kalik, and she was stone cold silent. Rhonda Gollick is reported in Warzone. She's been held by the Syrian group of Iraq. And she heard how me and Virgil...
It's probably a more pleasant experience.
So, guys, we have you up here, and we haven't hit any of the people that we wanted to find out.
Let's do it.
I have a few...
Drag them.
I have a few names.
is my favorite.
It is inspirational and aspirational.
Yeah, it's so aspirational. I love it. And what was like, it was, I think the photo was like the front of like this like beautiful canoe just sort of like sailing into this massive like sort of Southeast Asian sort of like alcove or grotto or something. And she's just like, just solidarity with everyone approaching. I had to get away from it. Tweet or post anything. If you're like me, you just imagine her composing it, being born on a leiter carried by servants.
Yeah, I am sick of being mansplained by my servant about how many slices of lemon go in a gin and tonic.
They're on the way to the game ranch with her fiance, who is the guy who gets shot at the end of an Ernest Hemingway short story.
I mean, look. You may criticize Jill, you may play the leftist purist game, but you power your computer by plugging it into an electricity grid powered by fossil fuels and all types of stuff. Jill actually has a hamster wheel powered by her servants. Zero carbon emissions.
Jill is working with Akon to bring electricity to 500 billion Africans.
Yes.
Who's next in the queue?
I think the next person, so how is Jonathan Chait doing? One of my favorite
films. He's feeling great, everybody! Trump as president, my book out the same week? What difference does it make? you guys notice this? This is actually 100% true, a little publishing industry tip here. Jonathan Chait and his publisher changed the subtitle of his book. So like all the early reviews, the subtitle is Audacity, How Obama Transformed America. And the version that was released in stores this week is Audacity, How Obama Created a Legacy That Will Prevail. Eventually. So yeah, Chait's doing good as hell.
He's gonna be fucking like huddled for warmth over a burning barrel in a gutted Kroger and gonna be like, how's that Obama legacy, bitch? And he's gonna say, patience. I mean, to put it in terms of Chait's praxis, which is replying to every single woman on Twitter who works in the media, it's incrementalism. You start out by quote tweeting them or replying to them, so you often go to the office barefoot.
Jonathan,
my girlfriend's calling the big Ingram. Yeah.
Jonathan Chait is still actually trying to figure out whether or not he's allowed in the Women's March.
But then, you know, after approximately 30 years of pestering every woman in the media, they will DM you. And that's Obamacare.
How's Ross doing? How's Freeway Ross out that doing?
He's been fine.
No, well, he did fine on Inauguration Day when Timothy Dolan, who is a legitimate monster, was giving a benediction. He pined openly for a Catholic monarchy.
I mean, he's been quiet.
It's like 50s Ireland, that's fun. Mecklen Blondie's on every corner, sounds like fun to me. Here's a guy that we all know, and we all want to hear about, Richard Spencer.
Ooh.
I'm going to send back you out.
His motherfucking head on TV.
As someone who has lost fights before in his life, which not for 10 years, my favorite thing is that Spencer, I mean, I've been just getting fucking whacked and everyone's seeing it, and the first thing he does is fix his hair. He's a 38-year-old K-pop sensation. But all he does, he's like going through the mitigating phases of getting the shit kicked out of you, where you're like, it wasn't fair. To actually prove my point. Actually, it showed how scared they were of me. Actually, it's going to make everyone a Nazi now.
Yeah, the best thing about it is that, and he said this in an interview after it happened, is that now he's going to be a meme. Because for these dipshits, like, they believe that they elected Trump.
Well, speaking of memes, I think actually the best comment, much shout out, much credit Randy G. Dub, who said his favorite part about that video is he was talking about Pepe right as the fist connected.
Yes. So it's like, okay, congratulations. Your meme magic elected Trump. Now you getting your bell rung is the meme of the next 20 fucking years.
I just want to say, I was on gun, but then I saw this freak get knocked out and then mess up his, like, fucked up hairline haircut, and lying that he lives in fear now, random assaults, and then brag about paddling, and now I'm a Nazi. That convinced me.
I saw one spectacular take on Richard Spencer that said, congratulations on punching Richard Spencer. You've now made like the country sympathetic to him. I gotta say, I'm not gonna concern myself with segments of the country that are sympathetic to the fucking Nazi. Just forget about that. Write it off immediately.
It's like the famous Dan Kay tweet. I just realized that Stalin moving into Berlin caused Hitler to self-harm.
We are, is that if there are no two easier questions to answer on Earth than, is it cool to burn a limo, and is it good to punch an ass? Like, you know how you get points on the SAT for answering writing your name correctly? Like, that's at that level of gimme. And yet, the vast majority of the political immediate class in the city is like, no, obviously not.
I just want to say that please don't burn our limo.
The Chapo limo is the limo of the people.
We have a mansion alone.
We have a lot. Like a raffle where once a year, one subscriber can take a ride around the block in it. So, yeah.
Tag Marriott Hotel.
Marriott.
This was, fans of the show, this was the highest peak possible of dangerous and unacceptable. He was in the Marriott, like as we said, probably, I guess just in a hotel room, watching the inauguration as he normally does, just eating a plate of spaghetti and feeling totally fucking empty inside.
Mixture of antidepressants and painkillers, just catatonic on a bed.
Slack-jawed, a husk.
As good as it gets.
As good as it gets for him. And then I imagine he went down to the lobby and saw like some sort of, Hillary wine moms milling about and just going.
Dragging his eye.
Or just like, it just had a.
It was like a slightly political remake of How to Make an American Club.
Or just having a little SB in the lobby and just maybe one of them went, woo! And he was just like,
perspective, like my 64-year-old mom was at this march.
Yo, shout out Phyllis' mom.
Love that boy.
What's her email? Does she have an email?
Well, because I'm sex positive, I do not limit, if my mom emails my code. I don't care. That's how woke I am, ladies. My mom was there, and she was probably, in the Marriott, and my mom is, a 5'6", 64-year-old woman, surrounded by other 64-year-old women, and, Frank once took one look at her, and...
What's so amazing about that is, so he does the tweet, and, you can fill in the blanks in your head and think, maybe there were some, leftover black bloc kids in there, that can happen, but he took a picture. And he's like, this is going to prove my point. And it literally was four old ladies and a small
child. You can see a toddler. You can see a child in the photo. The
crowd was like, hi, everybody. I am feeling totally fine in this not dangerous environment. And it's too intense for a 57-year-old.
Psychotic.
Ken Niner, Delta Op 47. We have a bachelorette party watching The Bachelor. We request immediate evac.
But then did you see today? He went on fucking
Fox.
I was at
that Marriott, the infamous Marriott, when a woman, she couldn't have been more than 6 feet away from me, or 6 inches away from my face, threw a red confetti directly into my eyes. I was temporarily blinded.
This guy's going to get triggered every time he sees Rip Taylor from now on.
What? This is also in the context of saying the Women's March was the least effective thing he's ever seen. And saying...
Percent of the United States population turned out in the streets yesterday to protest this fucking government.
Doughboy wants is that these are the softest bitch-ass motherfuckers on earth.
Yeah.
They are
who
fetishize Daddy Trump because they need some sort of externalization for their non-existent masculinity. And I have to say, just as a disclaimer, it would be awful and not funny if every single time Frank Luntz made a public appearance, some sort of comical cartoon-esque shenanigan were to be played on him. He stepped on the stage and he stepped on a banana peel, or he got a custard pie in the face. Awful, and no one should do that.
Frank Malone, that this is what, I've never seen this before in this country. This is what it's come to. This is the violence. And Frankie's basically a Civil War veteran at this point. He's basically as heroic as anyone who served at Antietam.
Like, yeah, Bull Run, Antietam, Washington Marriott Hotel Lobby. I don't know, like, just like to bring it back to where Brett and Brian started. Like, for me, I guess... from yesterday and this whole week, horrifying as it has been, is I'm very inspired and heartened by the numbers of people that I saw yesterday. And I think, like, for me, the question is, how do we radicalize the normies? Because there's a lot of normies. Like, there's most of them are just normies. But I feel like they're ready, even though they don't have the same broken brain that we do. And seriously though, like, what I do find most heartening is that I feel like 1.5% of the country, and probably way more other than that, especially like the sort of normal lib Democrat people, are on day one of the Trump administration, what it took them probably 6.5 years of George W. Bush to get to. Yeah. So that's not nothing.
I wish it could be the case that more people started out in life as irony boys and communists. But we can't do that. People got to start somewhere. And, you know, like, look, it's fucking silly as soon as they sign up. It's like, you know, Trump and Putin fuck each other or whatever. But there is a path that people have to take. And, like, for a bunch of normies to go out there, for me to be out for hours, to be out in huge numbers, and really let this guy know that he fucking sucks... like, no, that's amazing.
Yeah. I believe it. I believe in my heart that everyone that was out there with a sign today or yesterday that said, you know, Trump equals Putin or no communism in America or whatever, in 4 years, they will all be holding signs that said, my wife left me.
Yes. Imagine the end scene of the most important book of the Bible, V for Vendetta. Except, instead of wearing the V for Vendetta mask, they're wearing the baseball ring mask.
Yes! Woo!
I know we went in pretty hard on the city of D.C. tonight, and in the podcast episode we reported for tonight, and
the bomb threats I sent,
and the Yelp reviews that I left for the page for Washington, D.C., but we've all been floored by the kindness, the hospitality, and the coolness of everyone we met here who's from D.C., with the exception of the Lanyard dipshits, obviously, that's a tumor to excise. And y'all have a very cool city. Thank you all so much for having us.
Thank you, everybody. Chopper Trap House. Chopper Trap House, everybody. Alright guys, I guess they're not cut. I thought they cut our mics. Jesus.
So thank you for coming out here. I really do appreciate it a lot. I know that DSA was a big part.
in 2016, I think I found and I realized that there's a lot of communists out there that don't have a community. Yeah. There's a lot of communists out there that are communists online or in their head. Yeah. And so socialism, communism, that's something that happens at the end of your hands. And all of us represent 10 other people that we can reach out to and that we can explain it to them in a way that they understand it. They want more. We know they do. We know they would be happy to have health care. We know they'd be happy to have retirement. So that's where we need to be at. I mean, fuck, man, communists for a while just meant you never left your room.
Right here.
Uh-huh.
Mississippi, solo.
Yeah, we love y'all. We love y'all.
The only one there.
Well, you know, it starts, it is tough, I agree. And our DSA in Columbus, Ohio was 3 or 4 people for several years. We're now 30 to 40 people for several weeks in a row. And 2 things about the organization. Extremely boring. Like, extremely regular, milk and cookie people. We're literally just trying to collect names to end summer policing in Columbus, Ohio.
I'm trying to collect names to end all policing in Columbus, Ohio.
Those type of solutions are easy for people to digest, and this weekend has given me so much hope. We watched the people that were fighting the cops, and the only person that got punched this week, not even the guy, there was a fucking guy that had an American flag suit on with a MAGA hat, and he's walking through all of it, and the guy never got decked once, which is a shame, but also I respect the hell out of you for that. Richard Spencer is the only guy that got fucking punched, and that was the message. Starbucks, the McDonald's, the Bank of America, those are the windows that got broke. This isn't chaos. This is where we're heading next. Everybody's coming on and realizing that these aren't the solutions to where we need to go.
Y'all got 2 years to campaign for me for mayor of Columbus.
So if y'all are interested in going and hanging out with everybody, Brooklyn Pint is going to be the place after this. So we'll all be there. And my wife's not here, so you can smoke a cigarette with me.
As Sam noted, we've been in the content factory here. I was wondering, you guys were out on the streets. Did you guys see the meat wall? Did you guys see the
Bikers for Trump, they said they were going to create a meat wall around Trump.
I hate to bum you guys out, but I've been to every event for this election. I went to the DNC, I went to the RNC, and there's never been more than like 15 of those guys at any of these things, so I'm not sure.
I love it though, because when that story first came out, I think I saw it in The Hill, and they were like, oh, Bikers for Trump, they have like 300,000 people in their Facebook group. Well, yeah, but it's like, so do all these other random weirdo, neo-Confederate Facebook groups, like, against Obama, like the illegal Muslim Obama, it's still got like 200,000 likes, but it's not going to get people turned out for a rally.
No, and I am a Biker for Trump person, and one of those, I'm part of that group. There's probably plenty of me.
Oh, yeah, those groups. Observers. Like when Virgil Texas took over the, I forget, whatever page, and he changed it to LGBT Jews for Michelle Obama or whatever.
Yeah, you took over the pissed off right winger.
Yeah. That was good.
So we can confirm no meat wall in D.C.?
I didn't see it. I saw a few calm guys in a Harley Davidson jacket, looked brand new. The guy, the Trump Biker for Trump at our hotel, he actually brought it in on a cargo van. So we didn't see much of that biker activity that I was expecting.
I couldn't respect a guy who is a biker for Trump who didn't ride his bike to the protest. I mean, I know it's cold, but that's cross you have to bear.
There's Jack's biker valor.
Jax Teller would have driven his bike here, okay?
That is Anarchy Jax. Jax Anarchy from Sons of Anarchy?
Yes, yeah.
It also reminds me of because I went to, in 2010, I went to the Glenn Beck rally. And despite Glenn's falling out with Trump, I feel like there's a lot of overlap in terms of who was there at the Glenn Beck rally and who supports Trump. I saw a lot of Rascal scooters there. So maybe if they did Rascals for Trump, they could turn out like 2,000 people.
They can make quite a meat wall, too. Yeah. That's what they're looking for.
No, man.
You want to go to the Tilted Kilt?
No, it's a horny place, right?
I know. Yeah, it's just going to be place. Dudes in sweatpants.
It's a sad, horny place, too. Oh, my God. Because
I'm not, like, a horny.
We just scored a very fresh pouch of gummy. It's soft, soft and pillowy. Folks, just so you know that this is definitely not a treat, we're eating at Red Robin right now. We're down here in our swanky hotel. It's a discount hotel because we know working people that get discounts.
Go, 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 go.